KO4DJW Mobile.
Dave, KO4CES.
Andrew, is it that late? No, it's noon. Why are you not working?
Parts for a few days, so we've just been fiddling around for 3 days. I couldn't take it any longer, so I'll still get my plenty of time in.
Well, I mean, plus a little flying time, too, with that kind of a schedule, right?
Nice. I was looking at it, but looks like some of the gusts might be pretty high here in the next hour or two, so figured I was going to shoot that down for me.
Every time I pass my window, I look outside and look at the leaves. If I can see the bottoms of the leaves of the trees, it's a little bit too much wind.
Do the same thing. And I'm looking, and it doesn't look bad, but then again, I don't know. So, I don't know. If I get time, I might try to sneak out there, but I think the weather's supposed to get a little worse as the day progresses.
Sand, the repair work that comes from flying in windy weather a lot, is really good for your building up skills. Just going out there and flying wherever the airplane happens to go is one thing, but having to place the airplane where you want it to be when there's something distracting you like the wind is really good for building up your skill level.
I don't disagree with that. I was out there, Sunday? A little bit gusty that day, but I wanted to fly, so I got on out there, and I did good until I got to my fourth battery, and I was doing some figure eights, just trying to get used to pushing myself a little bit, feel a little more comfortable with it, and I ended up rolling it on over, so Steve had to help me out yesterday getting the front wheel assembly lined back up and gluing some of the foam back together.
About when I'm talking about if you can stand the maintenance. It's high maintenance to do that, but it also accelerates the learning curve at the same time. So I used to have, when I was at WCRC many years ago, I used to go out there and train a lot, kind of like Larry does now. And there were people that they enjoyed flying so much they didn't want to take the time to really learn how to do it. They just wanted to fly. And they'd come out there and use an instructor just to get up there and fly. And they really weren't advancing very much over, you know, a long period of time. There'd be other guys that come in that would want to learn, and they would jump right past them, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So it all has to do with the approach. You know, when you're out there flying, it is fun, but if you can be disciplined, you get further faster.
Tell me that, and that's what I've been trying to do, is push myself to do things that I may or may not be comfortable with. And I know some of them's going to learn that, you know, it's going to be a hard lesson sometimes. Some of it might cost me. Some of it might put the plane down for a little bit. But I'm not going to learn if I don't get out there and at least try and just do different things and get more comfortable with my plane. So, you know, I figure I can learn good with this one and get a few bumps and bruises on it and maybe have to replace parts here and there. But I think it'll be well worth it in the long run. Plus, it's just fun to get out there and do.
Some airplanes are 20 years old, but they have only flown like a half a dozen times a year, if that much. Sometimes gone a whole year without flying. That's the only thing that'll keep one, you know, from getting battle scars all over it. Let's put it that way. You can put just about any crash back together, but some of the crashes, they end up with a lot of battle scars on them. And those are sometimes the most fun airplanes to fly, too, until they get really heavy, and then it changes. W4DJW.
Trying to order some parts and pieces and seeing if I can build a foam board. And I don't know what I would do just yet, but something you can get out there and do the same thing. You can use it and abuse it and learn. And, you know, if it crashes, you can kind of build another one. And the foam board's not expensive as long as you don't ruin the receiver, the engine, or anything else. But, you know, even that's not overly expensive, but still, you know, you don't want to replace them if you don't have to. But that's what I've been thinking about a little bit, too, in addition to my plane, is trying to do something like that, just build one with the foam board. KO4CEF.
Built them when I was competing. I had a wire machine, a hot wire machine, and it cut out foam blocks. And then pin templates to the side of the foam block and then ride the hot wire over the templates. The template was the airfoil. top and bottom, plus they were hollowed out. And make a lot of airplanes really quick. I mean, that makes for a fast build on an airplane. And they're pretty resilient, too. A little bit harder to fix when they do crash, but pretty resilient to scuffs, you know, and like sometimes you come in and you tip it over the nose and the wing tips kind of bob back and forth while it's slowing. They hit the ground and eventually does a ground cartwheel, you know, a flat cartwheel on the ground. They're a little tougher to that kind of a scuffing up. When you auger in, it doesn't make much difference, but when you kind of scuff them up a little bit, they stand up, the foam's up, especially if they're balsa covered on balsa sheeting, a thin balsa sheet on the foam, and not all of the foam, just portions of it.
And I figured doing stuff like that will kind of push me to learn a little bit, like if I order everything as a kit, you know, bind and fly or something like that, I'm not really, you know, the aspects of it and how to worry about wiring up the receivers and whatnot. So I figure the more I do and the more I try, that I'll learn, just kind of like with ham radio. You know, you try stuff out and you get to learn from it.
Matt, you got a leg up on everybody else. You work in a manufacturing plant. Keyword, manufacture. You know, the process is to manufacture, to repeat and get good repeatability and high sigma levels.
And we'll just have to see how my inexperience with planes plays out in it. But like I said, the foam board seems fairly straightforward, and you know, it's not overly expensive like buying a brand new plane. You know, I seems like it'd be fun to try out. So I'm gonna figure out what all I need to do in order, and I'm gonna start trying to put one together before long.
So on White Hampton, I used to order my foam board, or, you know, the big board. They were four feet by 8 feet by 2 to 3 inches thick. And then I would cut those up into half a wing each to do the hot wire on it. And those boards, they weren't like but about $8. This was a few years ago. And you get four cores out of them, and there's two wings and a core. So it came out that the cores were $1 a piece, and that's pretty cheap for a wing.
Yeah, at all. Not like you'd pay if you bought the whole plane and the foam and everything else together. You know, you got to pay for all that easy assembly stuff.
But this was across the street from kind of an obscure place. It's where there's a upholstery refinishing place on White Hampton that's between Greer and Taylor's. And it's on the opposite side of the road from him. I know that because my wife has me take stuff to get reupholstered. And I look across the street and say, I need to get some foam, and I need to start cutting out foam cores again.
That if I'm over on if I'm over in Greenville anytime, but I'll avoid it if I can. But, yeah, I'd like to find some around here in Spartanburg, but I don't know how big a sheet I'll be able to find. But, you know, well, give me something to tinker with.
In a minute, I'm at the transfer station, and there is no line. I just pulled right up, and I'm backing right in. Be back in a minute. W4DJW.
4C is standing by.
DJW, mobile again.
4CF. So have you ever built or flown a sailplane?
Not as many as the other kinds, like the competition planes or the fun fly planes or that kind of stuff, but I have had a few. I guess the one that was most fun was a Freedom Slope Soarer, and you take it to the side of a mountain, you throw it off the side of the mountain, and you go back and forth in that updraft that, you know, where mountains are, usually there's wind on one side of the mountain coming from one direction, it hits the mountain and goes up. And you can fly all day long in that updraft. You just have to pass back and forth through it. And so that's the one I got the most mileage on, was the Freedom Slope Soarer. That was a lot of fun.
Steve, I think that might be the next plane I want to try out. Because for me, in my mind, I think it would be neat to be able to fly one and catch the updrafts and just try to keep one afloat as long as possible. I know down there at Triple Tree, you know, when they do the Joe Nail, they're one of the competitions they have is a sailplane, and it's to see who can keep theirs up the longest, and I thought that was pretty neat.
The events in the fun fly competition, they had tons of events, but one of them was you make it into, you try to do with the plane that's really aerobatic. You try to make it do what a non-aerobatic plane will do, like a slip soar. Like the U-2 wasn't an aerobatic plane at all, but it could go to 70,000 feet. So it's either one, you know, they design for function. And that's one of the things that was hard to do is get a plane that would, you get like 30-second burn on your engine. One of the events, and you go straight up, you go vertical for 30 seconds. And by the time a competition plane goes vertical for 30 seconds, it's a dot in the sky. You can barely see it, but you can see it. And then you got to kill your engine and throttle up, and there's got to be no sound when you throttle up so that you know your engine's dead. And then they start the clock, and whoever has the longest time span between throttle, dead stick, and touching the ground wins. That was a lot of fun. And another thing, those big floors that you see Steve and I flying out there, those fly like a glider. They're not very aerobatic, but they fly a whole lot like a glider. So if you want a cheap intro into gliders, that Bixler is a good one. And there's like three or four versions of that thing.
And I know Steve was showing me he's got the Night Radiant or whatever it is. And I think that's the one that Hobby Zone or E-Flight sells. And I think it's got the 2-meter wingspan. So something like that might be a good start. I don't know, because like his doesn't have ailerons. And I didn't even realize that he was telling me about it. And I was just like, how do you even turn? And he was trying to explain it to me. But that would be neat to learn. But that's definitely something I'm interested in next. I think it'd be cool to just fly one up, cut the engines off, and just see how long you can keep it up there. Even if I never competed, which I don't know that I would do, just that challenge of keeping one up for as long as possible would be pretty cool.
One of the things I did with the Bixler when I first got it was flying it with rudder only. Don't use ailerons. And one thing I found out, it's got such a long wingspan. When you use the rudder, it does kind of tilt the ailerons a little bit. I mean, that's just the way it works. The rudder, not only does it give you yaw, but it gives you a little bit of roll. And that's when you turn with your ailerons, that's called roll. When you turn with your rudder, that's called yaw. And you can, like, give counter ailerons to your turn, and you can keep your wings flat and do a flat turn with rudder only. But you got to use a little aileron going in the opposite direction of the turn to keep the wings flat, to keep them dipping. Well, that Bixler, when I was flying rudder only, it would, like, lean to one side and stay to that side. So I turned in the other direction, it would lean to that side, and it would stay in that orientation. So what I would do is kick the rudder over to one side or the other a little bit, depending on where I was at the field, and let go of the stick. I let go of all the sticks with the raw throttle set, like at a 25% or maybe 30%. And the thing would fly itself, and like a free flight. And if it started going too far downwind, just hold the rudder neutral for, 10, 20 seconds until it goes back upwind again, and then let go of it, and it'll do the same thing. And you could get it trimmed out to where it would do all the flying. You just sat there and watched it. That's kind of fun when you can get one in that kind of an orientation. Not many airplanes will do that. Most of them will eventually go into a spin and, auger in, and you got to.
I'm gonna have to. I guess that's probably something I need to do. Then I need to, start kind of throwing my rudder in there a little bit and see how it affects my plane and learn how to use it. Because that's something I don't do a lot of, even on my land. I tend to try to use my ailerons more, but instead of using the rudder. So that's definitely something I need to push myself to do next time I'm out to the field. So, well, Dave, I am pulled up in the driveway, so I'm gonna say 7-3 and. Hopefully we can get out to the field again soon. Are you going up to Waynesville this weekend, or are you staying home?
Go to Waynesville, but I got to go to Raleigh. I got a new shiny grandson in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we're going this weekend, so I won't get to make Waynesville, but maybe the next one. Anyway, I'll let you go. Good talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, W4DJW. Mobile.
3KO4CF, and I'll be clear.
JW and Gerald TR.
How are you, W4DJW?
That would be Hotel Oscar Tango. Dave, good afternoon to you. We are just leaving Sam's Club over here in Spartanburg and headed back towards the QTH. I had a question for you. When I'm I'm running CW and that downstairs. I was looking for a way for Bernice to be able to negotiate some traffic here. To be able to listen to the TV set without me being heard, or if I'm on sideband, is there a way that you can get something to do that wirelessly?
Is the issue the audio going through the air that is making noise, or is the issue something going through a wire?
Well, I'm over in the, you've been at my place, I'm over in the corner, and I'm talking on sideband, and I want to let her not be able to hear me, but just hear the TV set through a set of headphones or something, but I don't know if the TVs have Bluetooth in them or not. They're fairly new, Dave.
Oh, okay, I get it now, because you're over there talking, so it's audio going across the room that she's hearing. Yeah, she can get earbuds. Like, I got a new set of earbuds that are called, they're bone induction. They don't go down inside your ears. They rest on the outside of your ears, just right in front of your ears, you know, going toward your nose from your ears. That's in front. And then you put earplugs in your ears. And because if you don't, the bone injection for the sound comes out your ear hole, your ear canal, and you can't hear. So you put those little foam earplugs in your ear, and you put the bone conducting headphones. They just rest on your top of your ear, and they're connected with a wire, so they don't fall out if you spin your head around. They don't sling them out. They stay in place. And Amy was getting ready to leave earlier. No, she was wanting to talk. She wanted me to give her some advice, and I didn't hear a thing. She finally stomped her foot and knocked on the door, and I looked up real quick, and she said, "I've been standing here hollering for you." So yeah, and you can Bluetooth, you can bind those to your TV. I bind it. Like if I'm watching, you know, whales underwater at nighttime, and she doesn't want to hear it because she's got to go to work, then I bind those to the TV, and she doesn't hear a thing. And I can watch TV, and she goes to sleep. She puts her little light things on her eyes and doesn't hear anything. So that does work. Easy to pair using Bluetooth.
Bernice, hit that button on that detector. So you're saying the newer TVs do have Bluetooth in them, Dave? Now, here comes the problem. Bernice has hearing aids. But I read something in that book, and it's a very poor Chinese book, of course, about them being TV-enabled. But I didn't know if the, now this is dumb, but I never looked into it. I didn't know if the TVs had Bluetooth in them. You're saying they do?
Yes, the newer TVs do. The Google Assistant TVs, that's what we've replaced ours, and that's the ones you end up with. They're running on Android, I think. So they're computer TVs. Even though they look and act much like a TV, they are computers running a TV program. Yeah, they've got Bluetooth in them. And everybody makes them.
Samsung's, both of them, the one upstairs in the master bedroom and the one downstairs, we had an old plasma set, and we give it to the son-in-law for the kids. And I think he's since gave it away, but I'll look into that then. So I just got to figure out how to pair them, I suppose.
Yeah, it's really simple. You have a gear icon on your remote, an icon that looks like a gear.
Dave, I'm not there, of course. I'm out mobile here.
So what you do is you hit that gear icon, and you go down the menu. It brings up a menu on the screen, and you use your up and down arrow keys, and you go down to the menu that says Remote and Accessories, and you click on that. And when you go into that, you'll see Bluetooth, and it'll go down to Pair. And what you do is you'll hold a button in on the headset until you see it flashing. You'll hold like the plus button or something like that until you see it flashing blue and red. and then you let off, and then you go into that gear icon, you go into remote and accessories, you go over to Bluetooth, and you say bind, and it says, oh, I see a headset that's out there saying it's available. Do you want me to bind to it? And you say yes, and you're done.
Thanks, Dave. I'll look into that. I wish we weren't mobile now. I seen a pair of headphones that were Bluetooth back at Sam's a while ago, and they looked pretty nice. We'll get them the next time we're over there. They got good bass and this and that. And she don't say anything. You know, Bernice is exceptionally quiet. She never gripes. But if I start to do CW, sometimes I'll have to look over at her and tell her to turn the TV set down. And we just now got her earphones that are hearing aids reprogrammed, because I think she pushed a button too long or something and reprogrammed them. And I was mad at Costco's for not answering, and it turns out my phone had locked their number out, and I didn't lock their number out, but they were locked out, so they couldn't call us back, and I was getting madder by the minute, of course.
I've been today. It is complicated until you get into it, and then you find out it's not near as bad as you thought it might have been. I think my father-in-law's hearing aids also have Bluetooth built into them, and they can do the same thing. I don't know how he does it, but I remember him looking at TV, and nobody else could hear anything but him.
Well, I have the headset because I don't know how to turn them on and off as far as the TV function goes on them. Yes, you're right. Menu-driven things nowadays are quite common, and they're a pain in the rump. We have enough of those troubles trying to program our radios and such. And there's a guy right here just about ran in the sight of me, and he's got his phone in his hand and texting while he's going down the highway over here by that upward sports complex. You're never going to end that until they inhibit it while people are driving.
What's going on these days? Well, I'm at the Shell gas station over here. My dog's panting. She's getting to where she likes to go to the dump with me. She never liked riding in the car, but she's starting to like it now. She's looking out the window. But I got to pump some gas. I got to get out and pump gas. So I'm going to let you go. You guys be safe for us. Way in. N0TR and Bernice, W4DJW. Have a good day.
Hi, Dave.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that, and I'll look into tearing that up. If I can't do it, I got two engineers in the family down here that can, and I think I can do that all right, though. Just didn't know that they were Bluetooth-enabled. 73's Dave, and W4DJW, and 0TR. And thank you.
JW, mobile.